And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today, Thursday, February 5th, 2026. I'm just checking my surroundings here. I just had a little flash. I felt like Steve Quayle. I kind of had one of those orbs fly through here. And maybe I should duck or perhaps bleed. I'm not sure which. Bleed if I don't duck, right? All right. Well, welcome to Hagman. Again, a great show for you lined up. Steve Quayle's with me. SteveQuayle.com, Gen6.com, Renaissance Precious Metals. You know, I'll tell you what. Another day, another conspiracy theory proved accurate, right? A lot of things to get into. I'm not going to talk. I'm just going to bring Steve on and let's get rocking. Steve Quayle. Steve, how are you, sir?
Good, Doug. And I mean, we're at a precipice in history where everything has been hidden. And I would say the secret government, their occult practices, some of the most pagan rituals, some of the most disgusting, unimaginable, cruel things to child trafficking and babies being born for birthers to consume the little bodies. I won't go further than that, but here's something that I want to give the title to the context and the context of the title. Vladimir Putin, the Western elites are used to stuffing their bellies with human flesh and their pockets with money. That vampire ball is coming to an end. Now, this was a real statement of his, and here's what I want to go into immediately. You know, Doug, you've had a hit piece on you. I've had hit pieces on me, the whole Pizzagate. But now, ladies and gentlemen, the thing that I want everyone to understand is I made a statement, and this is critical, 35 years ago on KHNC, 31 years ago on KHNC, Johnstown, Colorado, I made this statement. When cannibalism fills the headlines of the day and the major volcanoes erupting are underway, that means tribulations, plural, have begun. So I want everyone to recognize that the word of the Lord, that there's nothing that's going to be, that's been concealed, will not be revealed. That which has been concealed will be revealed. The other thing I want to put everybody on record of, and I want you to understand this, we are at the flashpoint. I made the statement, I don't know, Doug, decade, 15 years ago. Before, longer than that, 15 years ago, before God allows the Russians to destroy the United States, he, the living God, is going to reveal the sins of the leaders to the people and the people's sins before a holy God. And I maintain to you guys that Epstein files release and the unimaginable horrors of what's contained in them are beyond even my comprehension, or actually beyond my vocabulary, to say this is a supernatural evil presenting itself before the eyes of the world and the the world of Christendom, and I would call it apostadon, based on the word apostasy, that means to depart from the faith, F-A-I-T-H. And so apostadon is upon us. I thought, and what an interesting word. Actually, Daryl gave me that word, my CFO at Renaissance, but apostasy. And apostadon sounds like a dinosaur, you know, a megalodon or a shark, you know, and all the pteranodons and every species of dinosaur out there. But what we're talking about tonight is something very staggering. And Doug, what's so staggering about it is that we're watching the Glyph reports, and I'm going to go on record for a minute. I want to have Eric put that article up, that Daily Mail. I want to tell everyone that the Glyph reports have been warning about what's going on right now in great detail. And it's really in ugly detail. And so it's important that you understand headlines are following the revelation on a time sequence basis. And all of the stuff going on all of a sudden, and God bless her, Candace Owens, what I really, really love her honesty and her brilliance. And Tucker Carlson, all of the biggies, and I'd say some of the biggest voices in the alternative media now are talking about things like giants and Gilgamesh and all the secret operations. It's kind of like they went back Doug, and Candace Owens replayed, I think it was a 15-year-old clip of Tom Horn and I on a, I don't know if it was your program, but it was on somebody's, it hadn't been your program or in the time when we were just on talk radio together. The point is that she played the clip of Tom and I talking about the things that are going to be in the future that are now upon us. So as King Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. And what's incredibly becoming more uglier, more disgusting. There's no end to the depths of Satan. But in essence, ladies and gentlemen, if you see what's going on and see the various podcasters like Jimmy Dore and others who are taking apart the open released Epstein files and the stuff that isn't even redacted, it is the most horrific presentation of the West. By the way, it's not just in the U.S. The entire European hierarchy is involved in it, and it's beyond even, how do I say this? It's beyond the ability of people to comprehend. It's not to talk about the evil tonight. It's to talk about Jesus is the only answer. And the supernatural evil is accelerating. And so I want everyone, please, to just look at this article that came out in the Daily Mail. And it's kind of like when we go on to your show, I would say our show together, meaning when you see the topics that all of a sudden pop up on the Daily Mail that are relevant to tonight's first hour, at least, we're going to talk about the stuff that the Glyph Report is showing those who subscribe to it, and it's showing in real time. So, Eric, will you put that article up? Okay. And Doug, can you see it?
I can see the headline. Yeah, mysterious symbols spanning the globe hit a lost or hint at a lost civilization 38,000 years ago. 38,000 years ago? Okay.
Yep. And so this, and scroll down for me, Eric, as I kind of talk. This is pre-Adamic. This is fallen angel stuff. And for instance, mainstream, I'll just read this. For centuries, mainstream archaeologists have dismissed the idea that an advanced civilization existed long before modern times. Now an independent researcher claims he has uncovered paradigm-shifting evidence of a lost civilization that hid a sophisticated code through geometry, symbolism, and monument design across the globe to preserve its knowledge ahead of catastrophic events. Boy, that's a mouthful. Mouthful. The point that of this story is this. Matthew LaCroix told Daily Mail, the discovery sparked by a recent find in Egypt links symbols across the continent and dates back 38,000 to 40,000 years. Now, this is talking about the time before the creation of Adam and Eve, because when you look at the Genesis narrative, the earth was chaotic and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And in the going to Isaiah, and it says that God did not create the earth form and voidless, but form and voidless without form and void. It was a act of judgment on this very time period that these revelations are coming out today. Now, why is that important? Because, ladies and gentlemen, every aspect of every nation, of every decision, is leading us to one thing, and it is leading us to the end of humanity. I'm talking extinction level event. I'm talking genocidal maniacs wanting to destroy almost 9/10 of the world's population in order to end up with it all, and everything you have goes in their pockets. That's the oldest lie in history for the human race. But this is talking about a period of evil, Doug, being presented and preserved for future generations. And it's kind of like a code, and I tell people, the Glyph Project is a code deciphering undertaking to let people know what is going on. Now, I've been talking about lost civilizations, and obviously people think immediately of Atlantis, which they should, of Hyperborea, Ultima Thule, Thule, Mu, the island or supercontinent of Mu, and it goes on and on and on in the Himalayas, Shangri-La. Shambhala. So what is astonishing to me is tonight you and I are talking about supernatural evil practices that are showing up in the Epstein reports and the, what do you call them, not only reports, but stuff that's being released.
They're files.
Files. And it absolutely is one of the most disgusting, most perplexing habits and that are out there, meaning we're being conditioned to become cannibals. And again, I want to make sure everyone understands this. Years and years ago, probably in 2005, I was being tutored by a very famous, won't drop names, 4-star general in special operations. He was warning me then of the amount of human derived genetic material, think about 2005, 21 years ago, that was being put into the food. He said amazing, he said this to me. He said, remember, Steve, warn your listeners or your hearers or anybody that will take you seriously. And boy, there's a challenge, you know, that you are becoming what you're eating. And the globalist Illuminati elite are grooming human beings to eat human flesh. So most people think, well, that's far out. I can't believe that. Yet I've yet to see, and I don't believe he has, President Putin has not lied. I can't find any time he's lied. He doesn't make a statement, have to take it back. That's certainly not what the West leadership is like. And when he comes out and says this in another article, I can't find, they should have kept a better track, but he talks about the Western leaders exuding, off-gassing the smell of human flesh. And I that blew my mind, because tonight I want people to understand we're already dealing with advanced supernatural entities and influence in everything that's going on. One of the stories that came out today, critical that people understand this, people that were even leaving their AI programs open, leave the room, come back, the story was a while later, and the computer is already talking to another computer. You know, and they're talking about what is so astonishing is what they're planning to do with the human race. And so some of us, and I'm on record, I said from the beginning, AI is alien implants. And I'm saying by alien, I'm not talking about extraterrestrials, but extra dimensionals. So today, that story is released. And Doug, it's mind-boggling, and this is why I want people to understand. This is a direct fulfillment, and people are emailing me saying, well, you said that. I thought you were crazy. It's not a question of me being crazy or not. It's a question of people taking the words I speak, excuse me, to the Lord in prayer and saying, are these things true? This stuff gets so out there, and I told somebody, a dear friend of mine, I said, this is kind of out there for you, isn't it? He said, yeah. I said, well, I didn't get a chance to say this to him, but I said, hey, that's where I've lived the past, you know, 30 years. Somebody said, well, you're on the edge. I said, no, I've looked over the edge and I see exactly what's coming. And that's by the grace of God. So, Doug, you remember when they gave you a bunch of crap, who was a Rolling Stone magazine? And when the Pizzagate thing came out, you know, you tell that story if you don't mind.
Well, okay. To add context to what you're saying here, and so people can kind of comprehend the enormity of this, remember, of course, the Wiener laptop. Remember when that came out? And remember when the Podesta emails came out and the WikiLeaks came out? And all of this, depending on which item I mentioned, really kind of formed this environment where the Pizzagate, and I don't like that name, but the Pizzagate controversy kind of erupted from there, it kind of coalesced. So, and it's interesting because, Steve, I mean, to put this into common day practice, this is when I was working with Russ and his team, Russ Dizer and his team, and we were finding For example, the November 16th, 2017 hit piece on the song by Dr. Hook back in 1972, cover of the Rolling Stone. You know, everyone wants to be on the cover of the Rolling Stone. Well, they be careful what you wish for, because this story did make, you know, a mention on the cover of that edition of the Rolling Stone. And what this was a hit piece, and its epicenter was children in cages. Now, again, I'll just leave it there, because there are, undoubtedly there are numerous instances where you've got evidence of children being held in cage-like environments. Okay. And you have numerous pieces of evidence from all of the things I mentioned, whether it be the laptop of Anthony Weiner to WikiLeaks to the Podesta emails, all of these strange communications, and some imagery of children being abused, whether they're in cages or whether they're actually being abused. And then, of course, suggestion of cannibalism in addition to sexual, abuses on children. So all of that together, and I'm struggling, Steve, to talk about this because it is so horrendous and the topic is so enormous. So having said all that, and then I'm going to shut up here. It was early this morning. It was like 3 a.m. I was troubled. Anyway, I turned on a movie, Boys from Brazil. You probably remember that movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. All right. So that made me think about what is in some of these Epstein files. Now, not the salted files, because there are many files that do not belong in that release. The subsequent edits to that tranche of files post, after his death, alleged death. So having said all of that, take a look at Epstein, not just as, well, he was, it was, and perhaps still is, a bag man for the intelligence community. In fact, he had his own intelligence community that would rival or work with the Five Eyes. But also take that and look at that as a genetics kind of experiment that he was involved in addition to the perversity. So all of that combined, and consider the enormity of all that, to add on to what you are saying. So yes, it is about sexual perversion. Yes, it's about blackmail. Yes, black ops jobs with the IC. Yeah, it's about all of that. So don't limit yourself and say, well, it's, you know, child sex trafficking. It's about that. No, it's about that, but it's about more than that. So again, you know, the enormity of this, and it's interesting too, when you do, the word searches, and then you have to sort through the findings. But there are references to Ball, Baal or Ball, whatever you want to, you know, Moloch, of course. And some appear to be humorous. Some said or, you know, written in jest, but others you have to take a look at and say, wait a second, there's something here. So the bottom line is just to say what Steve Quayle has said throughout the years and is saying today and is matching up with his project, the Glyph Project. All of this is operable today. I mean, and we're looking with the files, you're looking back at a period of time when all of this was supposedly debunked. So bottom line, all of this is coming out. Some of it is, be careful with some of it. Some of it is, there are landmines there, okay, that may not be true. There's some AI artifacts and CGI stuff, but the most important core aspect of this, when you get right down to it, is everything that Steve was talking about just in the opening here, right to to this point is now coming to pass. With that, Steve, I'm going to turn it over to you because, man, you know, I don't know if I can muddy the waters any more than that. Go ahead.
No, you didn't muddy. You actually clarified for people. The reason this is so critical, everyone, is because when Jesus said the whole world lies in the evil one, the world is at war with God. The world is trying to basically destroy all humanity, and their number one group from a lot of the deciphered glyphs, and glyphs are signs and symbols and signals. I mean, you know, the noise when you hear static electricity, like you're hearing or distortion, you can make out some words, but when you find out what's really being said and it clarifies everything going on, that's why it's so critical. And look, I understand a lot of people cannot handle the truth at the time it is spoken, okay? Now, again, I want to go on record. As you and I, Doug, and the audience, the viewing audience, listening audience right now, the communications, this is all open source intelligence, are indicating that Russia is using their extreme low frequency communications capabilities to order their subs to different places on the globe. Now, you can't say that we want peace when we're moving nightly, including 747s all day long, of 493 troops to the Middle East. There is going to be a war. There must be a war in order for the man of peace in place of Jesus Christ, the Antichrist, to come on the scene. So right now, there's no man of peace. There's no Nobel Peace proclaiming and somebody that wants the Nobel Peace Prize. We're in a time of war. We're in a time of unimaginable spiritual evil. And I've said this. I said the day will come and the day is here. I used to say the day is near, fast approaching. The day is here when the invisible realm will start making its physical presence known. And in essence, what you used to think, man, that's a weird feeling over in that corner. Man, I could swear somebody's watching me. In essence, what I'm saying, the invisible evil is going to manifest in the physical realm. And so now we've got the entire world looking for aliens, looking for UFOs. And again, to me, that's old hat. In essence, you're being fed, everyone, with the official, well, we're going to have disclosure. And, you know, I understand President Trump, there's a story, he's already written his disclosure speech. But I want the people of God, and that's who I'm tasked to speak to. Now, whether they want to believe it or not, it's on them. It's no longer on me. And so we're watching now the most precarious evil coming into our dimension. This horrible stuff that basically Doug is talking about, bloodlust, okay? That's what it's, when you talk about, it's not enough to torture children. That's everything that you think is bad, but what's beyond horrific is raising little babies to slay them and to horrifically eat them and to horrifically dismember, digest, and then move on next one. And for anybody that thinks this is hocus pocus, I got an email from a guy today, and he's not up on the Epstein. He said, well, why don't you, meaning me, go out and excavate the land on Epstein Island? And I said, well, it was already done years ago. Most people probably, they maybe passed over it, but they brought barges. The people that were the power brokers, brought barges, obviously on the ocean, with heavy equipment, and they completely excavated the area that was known to be the burial ground for the children, the murdered adults, and let's just say there, the parts, okay? And every single part of the graveyard that wasn't on coral was excavated. All of the excavation debris was taken off the island, and obviously, you know, I don't know if it was dumped in the ocean. My guess is that's what happened. So they sanitized their Satanism. And so it's critical that, you know, you understand, ladies and gentlemen, the West is perverted. The West is disgusting because these things go on, and that's why the rest of the world says you come across as these moral warriors, but you're not. Eric, will you put that thing that President Putin set up again, just if you would for a minute, because I think I sent you the X posting of it too. Look, if someone tells the truth is still the truth. And if people that lie don't want to even embrace the truth, then that's on them. But you're talking about, you know, a very, very intelligent man, not known to lie, not known to bellicose threats, not dumping, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. The measure of real strength is restraint. And ladies and gentlemen, we have provoked, and we are provoking, NATO's provoking, and I'm telling you that we're going to be in the crosshairs for a false nuclear flag event on the United States. I don't know the target yet. And when the target is detonated, they'll make sure that the fissionable material would have been come from a reactor, probably Russia. They do have Russian. Every single nuclear weapon has a signature. Every single plutonium or uranium-238 has a fingerprint, Doug, if you will. And you can't fake it because they have sophisticated equipment to identify. So a false flag. And so I'll throw it back to you, my brother, my Dick Tracy's second cousin. That's a compliment. What do you think would polarize? I mean, is there anything beyond a nuclear detonation in the United States on a U.S. target that they could blame Russia for that would polarize this country more than getting Congress to declare a war on Iran and Russia? At that point, I'll tell you this. There is no ability of the United States government seemingly, and I don't have access to what those guys in the Defense Department, notice the use of the word, but what they don't recognize is that we can't keep up with the technology of Russia, China, or Iran. Okay, Iran has hypersonic now, ICBMs. Of course, every warhead is hypersonic. When it's, you know, coming down in out of its terminal orbit. But what is important is that we are beyond the time anymore of being able to threaten as a global policeman anybody, because North Korea is calling our bluff, and so is Iran, and Russia and China have made it known that any weaponry that goes against Iran, they consider an attack on them because they're allies, and they will hit us in CONUS, in the continental United States. So I'm telling everyone, this has everything to do with the whole occult understanding of the world is lying in the evil one, and the elite beyond what we see as presidents or potentates or wannabes are supernatural evil entities directing each one of their earth puppets to do this, this, and this. And as you, those of you who get the Glyph Report are seeing it in real time, it's like Satan is a grand master of moving pieces all over the world. He cannot be every place at one time. He cannot be listening to every voice at one time. He can only use eyes and ears and sophisticated electronics to pretend that he's God, that he's omnipotent, all-powerful, you know, omnipresent everywhere, and omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. And basically, he's using it through technology. And so when I hear this really, I'm giving up frosted cake, but this really puts 51 toppings on my ice cream cone. By the way, I don't eat ice cream cones. In essence, people must understand there's no pulling back from this now. The strategic arms reduction talks, assault strategic arms limitation talks, there's no treaties now between Russia and the United States. There's none. So it's a free-for-all. North Korea never signed it. Iran never signed it. And so the treaty that would have kept everybody in check, and by the way, Israel never signed it. So what kept it all together is falling apart now. And just as our economy is a disaster, I want to share everything, this on silver right now. Silver has gone up and down, and it's another down. The crisis points, and I put an alert out to all of my Q filers, my subscription base, and I said, do not sell your silver and gold. I said it's going to go up, and I said it's going to go down, and I gave the what I'm told are the levels at which the mega whales, the people with all the money, whether it's the Russian government, come in, and that's when silver hits right around $65, $68, and it's getting close, and gold hits close to $3,800. Those are the targets. At that point, people will start panicking, selling out their silver at the worst possible time, and the people will come in and sweep it up and swoop it up, Doug, all at once. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, well, with respect to the precious metals, you know, it's really, to me, Steve, it's, and I suppose every rational thinking person out there, it's the value of, or less valueless paper money, or the Federal Reserve notes, that is, that's fluctuating. I mean, of all the monetary standards, right, the gold, silver, precious metals, that's, they've always maintained their value. And folks, you know, look, don't look at gold and silver investments as some sort of, you know, pump and dump, or, you know, get rich quick scheme. That is insurance for, I look at that as insurance, or even a retirement, depending on how much one might have, you know. So, these ups and downs, Steve, they don't bother me. Again, you know, I don't have enough to be bothered anyway, but the bottom line to me is, I think the days of COMEX and the fraud, I think that's coming to, it's starting to become righteous now. You know, it's coming to an end. The fraud's coming to an end. The manipulation. And I do see a breakaway. Do you see a breakaway soon? I mean, if I'm hearing that correctly, you do.
Well, yes, Doug, I see a breakaway, but I also see something that is lost on most of the gold commentators, most of the silver guys, is they do not recognize, or will they acknowledge, that this is a full-scale asymmetrical attack on the false weights and measures of the entire Western financial system. And everyone should realize this, that the world is tired of losing trillions of dollars because of the greedy bastard bankers, okay, GBBs, and their manipulation of the metals market and the commodities market, not just gold and silver, platinum, palladium, copper, and a lot of the strategic metals now. So what is happening? China and Russia, and China has 38,000 tons of gold. 38,000 tons of gold. If you look at the World Gold Council, you might as well be, you know, sitting on the John reading some fantasy novel about precious metals. I don't know of a more real picture of that. In essence, it's not real. The Western market is not real. Now, obviously, people are going to panic. Don't. And it, we're just within dollars of the low on silver. Well, what happens if it goes lower than that? I said, buy what you can, because right now there's a time frame, and the time frame is counting down pretty much from mid-February to mid-March, where it will be it, meaning the silver, the platinum, the gold, palladium, will be unavailable. Unavailable. The rest of the world has moved away from the U.S. dollar.
Can you explain? It was something you just said, Steve. You said we were dollars away from the low on silver. Is that what you said? I heard you say?
Yes, yes, you're correct. I think I wasn't clear enough.
But the low on silver, I mean, what low are you referring to? Because it's roughly at 70. What is it, 73 and change, I guess?
Yeah, I'm talking about the pre-established level at which the whales jump in. I think I said, I know,
okay.
I, yeah,
okay.
68 to 70 bucks, or 65, 70 bucks. Gold can or could go to $3,800 an ounce.
Well, back up the truck.
Thank you. But what I'm telling everybody is this. The emotion has to be set aside. You have to know that, wait, What do I do if I sell all my gold, silver, whatever you're selling in the commodities market, and I end up with dollars? Yet the dollars are depreciating at, you know, at minimum 35% a year. And it's even more than that, because as purchasing power diminishes and prices jump for what's available, then what gold and silver are the antidote for that. And I want to say something. I coined a term, pun intended, coined a term, but it was life assurance, okay? L-I-F-E, assurance. Life insurance, something bad has to happen for you to collect on the policy. We are watching, ladies and gentlemen, the global move to a big, bad, badass bubble of total integration of everything we think, do, say, and I'm saying think because of the amount of graphing that's going on. Gary Haven gave a beautiful presentation on your show about a week ago. Yeah.
Yep.
About everyone's becoming a transmitter who took the vaccines. And that's why from the beginning I said it was a vaccination, the vaccine assassination plan. But, and then we brought up, I don't know if Gary brought up or I brought it up during that, then the new 6G, as 6, S-I-X-G, 5G cellular, you know, what we're on now, becomes known as the Genesis 6 project. And no kidding, and Tracy Yates was the one that gets credit for that, because what it means to me is that, and now we're going to have to get into the spooky stuff, what it means to me is there's going to be an electronic infrasonic, some form of control mechanism that can bring some of these evil entities out, put them in stasis, and in essence, an electronic prison. And when the signal turns on, they go quite, they go crazy. I think it's interesting. Candace Owens today played an excerpt from Tom Horn, and I mentioned that earlier. And it's Candace is going to the Giants, the whole, if you will, fallen angel, accurate understanding of history, and so is Tucker Carlson. And so what I'm saying is the astonishing amount of revelations coming forth, and all of the different UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomenon, you know, UFO, unidentified flying objects, and also USO, unidentified submersible objects, and, you know, every other acronym. But what's happening is they're trying to control the narrative. They, the elite, the ones that want to, you know, hey, we're here from planet Zircon to, you know, take care of you and feed you. But they don't add the other part, to the creatures that you don't know exist until you're looking at what you're going to be eaten by. Okay? It's kind of like the Twilight Zone to serve man. So what is problematic now is that you're not able, the human mind has a, I don't know what it's called, but with so much trauma, you basically shut down, okay? And so what I'm trying to do is prepare to the best of my ability to fulfill my calling, the people of God. So when you see these things, you know that Jesus said, he will never leave us or forsake us. Faith is active. Oh, I trust the Lord. He'll just take me through it. With that attitude, I don't think so. Faith is active. It's not passive. Nothing in the kingdom of God is passive. The peace of God is not passivity. It is a gift that God gives to people, that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's not the author of distortion and upheaval. So where we're at tonight, and what is it today? I'm sorry, it's the 5th of February. We're talking about events transpiring that even, I'd say, some of the most prominent alternative talk show hosts, obviously Tucker Carlson, obviously Candace Owens, are talking about, because they're recognizing something. There is no way to describe the evil that is being released in the Epstein files without acknowledging supernatural. I saw it. I didn't watch it, but a posting on YouTube, didn't have time, where someone asked Jeffrey Epstein, are you the devil?
Yeah, I happen to see that. Huh? Yeah, I did see a reference to that in the file release, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not making this stuff up. Now, here is the deal. We're accelerating as a planet of evil, okay? I used to love, and I still do, Alex Jones' statement, prison planet, you know? But it's, I'm going to tell you something that was a really kind of cool, in my opinion, science fiction movie, Vampire Planet with Barry Sullivan. And it was also, it was called The Vampire Planet, and then they changed the title to it. But the whole gist of it was A Planet of the Vampires. And if you notice, Eric, would you put that headline up from President Putin again? That was from his speech. And he talks about, he's using the term vampire. And in his description, it doesn't matter if you don't have it, it's okay. But the term vampire, and you know, Doug, they talk about the giant sucking sound. They usually talk about that in relationship to economic matters. No, it is the bloodthirsty nation. We are drenched in the blood of the innocents. They are consuming it. I mean, literally, you know, you call it adrenochrome, call it whatever you want, you know, the blood of the young, but they are doing everything they can. They, the elitists who want to live forever on the false promise of Lucifer, that you shall know everything and be like God, because we're just going to give you a new body. We're going to take your soul, your essence, and we're going to put it into a new body so you can continue on with your perversions for eternity. But God said, nope, not going to happen. Interestingly enough, the first mention of this technology was probably, I don't know, 15 years ago. And some, you can look it up, have the people look, but it was called the Soul Catcher. Sound kind of interesting, Soul Catcher. And leave this up if you would. So I'm going to read this again. Vladimir Putin, the Western elites are used to stuff their bellies with human flesh and their pockets with money. That vampire's ball is coming to an end. Now, you know, here's the thing. I'm on record, make no apologies for it, and I don't care if you believe it or not. I'm talking to the general audience. Mystery Babylon becomes a habitation of devils and every unclean spirit. That's in the book of Revelation. And so what we're watching now is a cannibal nation. And a cannibal nation, they're eating up, look at what they're eating up. They're eating up the funding of the middle class. They're eating up the families. They're destroying everything. This is not melodrama. This is headlines. This is take a drive down the street and look at any of the homeless areas. And again, the plan, I'll tell you what, I was privy to being told this, the plan of the elite is to get rid of all the street people and anybody else that they can't control. Get rid of means take them, kill them someplace, and incinerate their bodies. That's been going on for 20 years. And so what is important is this. If you think this is just all woo-woo and ah-ha-ha, this magazine, that magazine said it, it's crazy talk, then how is it that the Epstein files are being so fought against being released? And, you know, what is it now? 2%? I don't know. You would know how many. I mean, I would think you would, you know. 2% has only been released by the DOJ. So if
in terms of the actual number of files, Steve, it's about 49 to 50% of the allegedly. But then again, you have to ask yourself the question. What's the truth? How many are there? You know, how many videos, how many photographs, how many actual emails? We don't really know. And you know, here's the thing, Steve, from my perspective, you mentioned Epstein Island, for example. Once a crime scene is contaminated, there's no going back. Okay. I've seen this happen. Not a crap ton of times, but enough times to know there's no way. If just in normal life, if there's such a thing, if police contaminate a crime scene, it's almost impossible to achieve any kind of prosecution. Okay, so then ask yourself, was that deliberate, the contamination? Was that modification of certain things? Was it deliberate? So anyway, getting off tangent or off on a tangent there. But all of this to say, you know what? We have to use discernment, as you said earlier, about what we're looking at and about the authenticity of what we're looking at. Go ahead, sir.
Well, you can, though, Doug. Say, I operate on a principle of law first mentioned, when the attorney general made the statement that she watched, and forgive me, was it four? She didn't watch all of it. She couldn't, wouldn't have enough time in her life. 14 gigabytes of video.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. The insane amount. Right.
Yeah. So and gigabytes, and look at this, the visual.
I think it's terabytes, by the way, but go ahead.
A terabyte. Okay. Thank you. You know, how about 14 terabytes? But the visual is so condemning that kind of slipped away, didn't it, Doug, from the whole focus, Epstein files? And it's kind of like we used to say about the Maui children. Where did the kids on Maui, where were they taken? I don't want to give my answer. It should be obvious. You know, where are all the kids that are stolen at the border and trafficked? Where are they taken? You know, somebody once said, and this is true, child trafficking is one thing, but child sacrifice is the, what is it, the currency of the elite.
The blood of the children is really the currency of the globalists, okay. Or in your case, the elite, or your word, the elite. They're nothing. They are definitely not elite anything except elite demonic, elitely demonic, I would say. Go ahead, sir.
Well, also, you know, I mean, there were a couple of science fiction films. I don't remember the name of them. This is critical because Hollywood leads with the information before it's ever made public, and where people would pay money to go and hunt living beings, in this case, African children, to shoot them, a hunting party against kids. And that was I forget the name of the movie, but it was a movie where that was a general theme, okay? The wealthy and the elite, they got so bored with money, they had to go out and kill. The bloodlust of these, and again, the bloodlust, the definition of bloodlust is the appetite of demons, a disembodied spirit expressed through humans. The appetite of demons. We used to use the word ghoulish, okay? G-H-O-U-L-I-S-H. A ghoul is not a vegan or vegan, okay, or vegetarian. They consume human flesh. And all through history, the demonic, and this is what I want people to understand. You're going to have a power bigger than a high-power rifle, or a M134, a minigun with a truckload of ammo. That's not going. You can only fight in this realm with a supernatural power, living God. Now that doesn't hold true with giants, because in one of the last glyph reports we did, I think number 16, we're on number 17, is we had the last real encounter from a foreign country encountering 200,000 giants. Now in cave structures that are so huge. The only word I can use is a labyrinth of cave systems, but they're so huge. Some of these things have almost 80 to 100 foot type high cave entrances. Okay, so it's coming out. And again, what I think is important, somebody asked me today, great question, why is all this stuff coming out now about giants? Why is it all coming out about, you know, all this kind of really weird stuff? I said, because God is preparing his people for what is soon to come upon the earth, and only he can take us and keep our hearts from that which is going to cause all men's hearts to fail for looking upon those things coming on the earth. Believe me, in some of the glyph reports, you know the images I've shown to our subscribers. Trust me, you don't want to go out with one of those creatures on a date. I mean, these giants are not just, you know, big oaf, bipedal, amorphous, or excuse me, bipedal human looking things. Some of these things are, you know, how do I say this? Creatures that this looks like something out of the Alien movie. Gee, I wonder where they got that. Or this looks like something out of Starship Troopers. Gee, I wonder where they got that. So important for people to understand is, if we live in the realm of dismissing this stuff because, well, I don't have to worry about it. Well, you don't now, but you're starting to have to worry about it, and you better not worry about it, but come to the solution. And I believe Jesus is the only answer. Look, I know stuff, and I'm trying to share stuff, but not at anybody's life expense, okay? And I would like to just blurt it all out. And then, you know, I told you, Doug, what good does it do if people, you know, I can't see your chat. I don't want to. But, you know, if they can't handle it, how can, if they can't handle this much, you know, what we're talking about now, how can they handle this much? You know, they can't. And then if we've given them for the years you and I've been together, if we've given them this much, and now we have to compress this much to give them, was it the best use of our time? I'm not bitching or complaining. I'm just saying, you know, we have to target our message to those that have ears to hear, that have eyes to see, and a nose to smell. Something doesn't smell right. And one of the other things, I want to make this clear. President Putin made the statement, and I couldn't agree with him more. I think I put it on my note on the article I put up, that the people that consume human flesh have a certain smell to them, okay? Well, FYI, everybody, the way that giants hunt is by the smell, hear me, of DNA, human DNA. When I'll give you everybody a little hint here, those of you who take the glyph report, you know the detail, but you have to contain human scent in basically a self-contained breathing apparatus suit, okay, like a level 4 biohazard suit, in order that your scent doesn't escape, because everybody's scent has a frequency. It's interesting because that's what Tesla said. You know, you want to understand how the world works, you know, universe works, you know, frequency, vibration, and he said something else, harmonics or something. But the point is that this is really going on. I mean, this, and somebody said, well, how many giants are there? I said, more than you can count. And I said, Does it mean anything if there are multiple giants for every human being? Here's the thing. In the Septuagint, Isaiah 13:3, God talks about, and it's in the Septuagint, it's not in the King James, not in the Amplified, but he talks about the release of giants. He says, giants are coming to fulfill my wrath. Okay, so there's giants preserved on the day of destruction. The people that think they can control these beings, and I'm one of the guys that went on record 20 years ago talking about the children in cages, but I also went on about, and this made me vomit, that the hybridization of those children, mixing DNA, some human DNA, with different animals, you know, it was like the island of Dr. Moreau. I remember when Hawk and I used to talk on air, we would talk about the islands of Doc Moreau. They really exist. And, you know, they may be a coral atoll or atoll, A-T-O-L-L, in the Pacific. And it looks like just, man, this is a barren piece of land. But there might be a little house on. That house leads an elevator that goes down and a vast underwater laboratory. We had images, artist conception, because obviously you end up with those kind of pictures, and you got the men in black, their wives. You get more than the men in black, you know, you end up seeing black. But here is the critical point for tonight, because we're watching World War III accelerating, not decelerating. Today, massive amounts of 747s, almost hourly, we're taking 400, whatever the capacity is, 400 and some, you know, 73 or something, military troops to the Middle East. I don't know if they're going to Qatar or Oman or Dubai, but, I mean, we're talking about a massive amount of manpower. I'll give you one word that should put prayer into everyone's heart for the U.S. military is this: drone. D-R-O-N-E. There is no longer a battlefield of infantrymen saying, tally-ho or charge or away we go. It is absolutely asinine, stupid, deadly, and a complete lack of understanding the battlefield of the future. And the battlefield of the future isn't possessed by the U.S. military. Oh, we got some stuff, and, you know, the big bad discombugulator, whatever Trump called it. But listen, that's nothing more than a microwave weapon, like the MILRAD units they use on crowd control, but in a smaller version, smaller package. So in essence, we're at a time, Doug, and like right now, I'm watching my, if you see me glancing, everyone, I'm watching certain messages come in. If they're important, I'll share them. But the amount of horror is literally what now I see, Doug. And look, you always know you can make a general statement. Well, Jesus said men's hearts will fail there, fail them for looking after those things coming up on the earth or upon the earth. The way you put the emphasis on the word, because it says, woe unto you inhabitants of the earth, for their devil, your adversary, the devil, has come down amongst you, knowing that his time is short. And seeking whom he may devour. That's two different scriptures. But we're in a time now where the invisible evil is being made visible. And the visible evil will literally take people's breath away. And I'm praying that they catch their breath and can know that Jesus has never forsaken anybody. Look, I'm on a save as many people. I don't save them, but present Jesus as the savior of anybody who will call upon his name. Anybody. And that's what's important, because, you know, help, his everlasting presence, his everlasting person, his everlasting provision, his everlasting promise. The book, Jesus, the Promise of Promise, covered all that. Most powerful word, I say, the most powerful word to the believer is help, Lord. So going on, we're going to have to deal with the reality. If you lose your silver or gold because you're afraid and you want to end up with more greenbacks that are depreciating, I'll make it simple for you. If you have $1 million, let's say right now, I'm just using it because it's easy to do the math, $1 million, and next year at this time, it won't be worth, under just where we're seeing the rates go now, it won't even be worth $500,000. Most likely, it'll lose 60% of its value from this point to 1 year from now if force majeure hasn't been declared on the U.S. dollar. Because, see, ladies and gentlemen, the whole world doesn't want anything to do with the dollar anymore. And you can sanction those countries. You can say, I'm going to put a tariff on you. I'm going to put a punitive. They say, well, what do you have that we want anymore? You know what the answer to that is, Doug? Nothing. And that's a real, how do you say, that's a gut-level, honest appraisal. And they're moving on. They mean all the nations of the world. And that's a wonderful scripture in Revelation. No man, by inference of the merchants of the world, will sit and watch Babylon burn, you know? And weep, because there goes their market, you know? So when you hear these analysts, well, we've got a pretty good feeling that we're going to have market share. My answer is this. How does that factor into the whore of Babylon burning? You know, how does that, how, where are you going to, who wants your stuff? So that's where we're at. And in the next hour, Doug, I want to present to people, I'm going to put to rest by the grace of God. The Yellowstone is going to blow. The Yellowstone is going to blow. The Yellowstone is going to blow. And because people have got to recognize Cascadia is going superactive now and is becoming hyperactive, and when it blows, Yellowstone won't figure into the equation. So that's what we're going to transition to.
All right. And folks, if you're just tuning in, I do know, and folks, I know this is hard to believe, but some radio stations, that's right, they're still out there. Do pick us up both at the top of the second hour. And I know some people join us at the top of the second hour too. So if that's the case, folks, you're listening to Steve Quayle. His website is stevequayle.com. That's stevequayle.com. And the link to that will be in the program description box at HagmanPI.com. Folks, you have to click on the title now in order to get the link to the various links, okay, that you're seeing here. And, of course, Gen6.com and Renaissance Precious Metals, but his home base and everywhere you want to get to is right from stevequayle.com. And folks, also one more thing. Now would be a good time to take inventory of your comms, your communication abilities. And I'll tell you something. Nowhere on the planet can you get a better deal for communications, solar backup, Faraday bags, Faraday clothing and blankets, and just an array of things through sat123.com. That's sat123.com. Folks, that's the go-to location for all of your communication needs. And if you think, well, satellite phone, I really don't need it, and what the heck, think again. And in terms of cost, I would, given the choice, I would much rather have a sat phone than a cell phone. And the sat phone right now is, their plans are, they rival those of cell phones in many cases. So folks, visit sat123.com, dark bags and escape zone and, all of that. But, definitely go shopping and definitely think preps, because we're going to need them. Sat123.com. All right, Steve. Yeah, take it wherever you want to take it. Yellowstone, you do have that DVD in live, or, what is it, online streaming? Yeah. I do know. And I know that we have a trailer for that. So, John, just take it from here. Go ahead.
Yeah, if Eric, you would play the trailer, I'll tell you the backstory on it. And I'll tell you that why it's so critical that people get rid of the noise on Yellowstone, because it's a diversion that is going to blow. I spent 54 years of my life photographing Yellowstone before the Cineflex cameras and shot over cameras, and I used all sorts of films, etc., etc. So this is just a 3-minute preview of the 57-minute total film, and every planetary science and scientists, all who study planetary science, go to Yellowstone, because Yellowstone is God's creative palette. And the imagery in these years that I've been doing this, actually decades, and I hate to say it, Doug, but half a century, brother Doug, half a century.
Half a century.
Yeah. So it'll speak for itself, and I'm going to address all the rumors. And then after we play this, I'll show people, it's 3 minutes, I'll show people where the magma plume, under the lava that's supposed to blow, and liars are doing CGI, and they're doing AI images of Yellowstone magma flowing out of crevasses. Not true. So go ahead, Eric, if you play that.
Yellowstone National Park is a land of extremes, part of an ancient story written in stone and fire. Here, beauty intersects with origin. Extremophile microbes thrive in hostile environments where life should fail. Scientists study organisms that could survive on Jupiter's frozen moons. Life that has altered the course of science, opening new paths in genetics, medicine, and astrobiology. Yellowstone's real secrets and beauty lie beyond the boardwalks. This is a Yellowstone few will ever see. A Yellowstone hidden from view, beneath the surface, and beyond horizons. For more than half a century, Steve Quayle has sought out this Yellowstone, not as a tourist, but as an explorer, a witness, a keeper of secrets the park rarely shares. He has created a time capsule for future generations by documenting Yellowstone through state-of-the-art aerial film, stunning photography, and endless exploration. Limited access, rising costs, and reservation systems will prevent millions from witnessing the real Yellowstone in person. The window to see it, as nobody ever has and never will again, is now. It is an adventure across thresholds, surface to sky, land to water, wilderness to wonder, revealing a Yellowstone defined by discovery. There are no scenic flights over Yellowstone. The paved corridors occupy less than 1% of the park, yet that's where the vast majority of visitors stay, unaware of the wild, hidden landscapes that make up the rest. This is not a travel film. This is not a souvenir. It is a rare archive. 5 decades of exploration, footage, and photography assembled into a single, impossible journey. Yellowstone. A below. America's greatest national park, as few have seen it, as no one else has filmed it, and as you will never experience again.
A lot of time, a lot of effort, and a hell of a lot of expense obviously went into that, right? I mean, that's and that was how long were you the compilation of footage images over how many years?
54.
Think about that, folks.
And what's interesting about this is that I really believe, because I live in Bozeman, Montana, and I hang out in Yellowstone before the tourists annihilated the road system there. What I want to get to people to understand, you can see Yellowstone like very few people. You can't see this stuff. You can see some of it, but you're usually viewing everything on a horizontal plane. Everything that we're showing from above shows it and places the different geyser systems in reference to the other parts of the park. And so we take you on a tour, but what's critical that everyone, I just touched on it, every single scientist in the world trying to figure out which of our planets, whether they're in our solar system or they're in exoplanet system, like the for instance, the red spot on Jupiter, there are some shots there. Now remember, this is a just a glimpse of what's in there. When we're on the specific areas of Yellowstone, it's not the multi-screen. That's the only way that I could figure out, and I have one of the best editors in the world, really. He's got enough, you know, Emmys on his wall to say, man, he's doing something right. And just a brilliant man and a great colorist. I'm giving this the time it needs, Doug, because there's nothing like Yellowstone in the world. That's not an understatement. 50%, 60% of all geothermal features are there. But I cannot tell you, and you know, I'm sorry, but I've complained about people. Look, I knew scientists, one of them used to be my friend, never been there, but he knew everything about it. People who have never been there don't even know which geyser pool, unless they're just reading it off it. Here's what I'm saying. The average person can no longer afford to go to Yellowstone. We've got hotels closing. We've got motels closing. We've got restaurant chains closing. We've got gas and gas prices up in the air, pun intended. But we also have done over 54 years. Look, I started photographing that when I graduated from film school in 1972. And because I really love abstract art, you know, and not only abstract art, but the abstract painters. I love color. I love the contrast. But what I want everyone to understand is you're hearing all the time, Yellowstone's going to blow, Yellowstone's going to blow. But what people don't understand, a little bacteria called a thermophile. Thermal just means temperature. File just means a life form that is in Yellowstone in the different pools. And anytime you see a different color in the water or along the sides, the rim of the geyser pool, that's a thermophile bacteria, which means it basically responds. Different bacteria respond to different temperatures of water, and also the alkalinity or the basic nature. Is it either pH, you know, acid, or is it either pH base? But there are reasons to watch the amount of science going on in astrobiology. That's the word I was looking for. And so I'll tease this a little bit. On the last day of filming, after about 4 years, I think, of filming, and when I say filming, we would go to Yellowstone, my pilot, my cameraman, myself, and basically film pretty much all day. And when I say all day, you know, during the hours of good photography, because you want to have, you know, the golden hour or the morning sun. You don't want high noon over Yellowstone. But the point is, during the different seasons, the thermophile bacteria actually can change colors. And so one little thermophile bacteria, basically TAC4, you know, Thermus aquaticus, meaning hot water, changed the history of genetic engineering forever. It changed the history of biological weapons development forever. And in essence, one of the scientists that shared the Nobel Prize for Chemistry was Kerry Mullis. He passed away, and we were trying to get a hold of him. But you can't ask some guy who's dying of liver cancer to deal. I mean, one of the most brilliant men in the world. And I knew the man that handled it. He got screwed. That was $1 billion, just a little aside. A $1 billion discovery, and the people that stole it from Kerry, and it's none of my business to reveal his business, but let me just say this: they bought it for pennies on the millions. Okay, that's how little money he got for it. Now he's also the one who said, he's on open record, that Fauci is no scientist, okay? So you got one of the most brilliant scientists in the world, because, again, everybody who came down with COVID ever had a PCR test, the nasal swab or the anal swab if you're in China, just to humiliate Americans. The point is that was based on a PCR, polymerase chain reaction test. Kerry Mullis himself said, that's not what it's used for. That's not what it's good for. But by that, and again, people got to understand this. How did a little microbe be responsible for the most advanced bioweapon genetic engineering processes in the world? So, that's a pretty pool of water. That pretty pool of water has more of effect than if it had a Yellowstone exploded in a supervolcano. It's not going to explode. Eric, will you put up, and I want to set the record straight. Thank you for letting me talk about this. Obviously, the film is magnificent. Others are saying that. But will you put up the diagram? It's the one that the map showing where the magma plume is. I know I sent that to you.
And anyone listening or watching this, I'm going to tell you, you saw the quality on the trailer. So look, if you want a museum quality video, DVD, definitely grab that. And it's historical and it's historically accurate. So there you have it. Okay. Go ahead, Barrick, if you've got that. Steve, I forgot what you were asking. Oh, there it is.
Yeah, okay. There we go. Thank you. And if you could decrease the size a little bit. Yeah. Okay. I want everyone to notice that where Yellowstone Park is located is in the magenta with a little purple circle and the arrow. Then follow it down and follow the motion of the magma plume. Now, look, I had the most wonderful time with Bob Smith, who's one of the most famous geologists in the world, talking about the magma plume that is in Yellowstone. In other words, the amount of magma and it's spreading. And look where the arrows are going, Doug, right into the Cascadia chain, and all of those little arrows. That means that the volcanic magma, is going to the, based on the chart, obviously the west is where the Cascadia region is. Thank you, Eric. And this is what's happening. And this is why you have so many earthquakes happening in Axial Seamount, 180 miles off of the Oregon coast. This is why you have so much subduction zone movement. This is why Cascadia is called the big one. This is why it's going to be beyond anybody's imagination. And what does it fit with? Henry Groover's vision of the Russians attacking the West Coast and all of the major volcanoes, 11 of them, going off simultaneously. Now, I want to make this clear. Between Bozeman, Montana, and as you head into Idaho, and you head through Craters of the Moon, these are real places, the Department of Energy has the largest, storage facility for spent uranium and radioactive stuff, okay? And, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that that's probably not a good thing if all that magma should take a sudden, somewhat southerly route. Department of DOE, you can look it up in Idaho, and Craters of the Moon. So this, the simple diagram should tell people, look, something's happening. So that's why we titled, thank you, Eric, you can take that down. That's why we titled the movie, Cascadia. Yellowstone is not the big one. Cascadia is the movie on Cascadia. All these movies together were done, 5-year increments of each other. And even in Great Falls, Montana, which is, I don't know, 250 miles north of Bozeman. And Bozeman is on the western, if you will, the southwestern corner, as you saw that map, of Yellowstone. We only have a little bit of Yellowstone Park. Wyoming is the majority of it. So what is this relevant for? I wanted to encapsulate what 54 years of photographic and filming has shown the world is going on, to put at rest that Yellowstone is going to blow at any minute. And I obviously understand Hollywood is obsessed with that. I know the whole history of when truly there were nuclear weapons planted in that area, and when there was a certain treaty, they were taken out of that area. The point is, meaning Yellowstone. So I still see dumb, I won't say this, I would say, stop, Steve, ignorant people saying, well, you know, so-and-so planted nukes there. No, they didn't. Not, but they did, but they're not there anymore. But what is critical, Doug, is the fact that Cascadia, the eruption of all of the major volcanoes, 11 on the on the Cascadia mountain range and the Cascadia subduction zone that runs into all these different faults. And now they're finding out that the faults that they knew about, for instance, the San Andreas, the North, all that stuff, that's not the action. The action is the ones that are the lateral faults that are starting to begin to show motion. And that's the ones that are concerning to me, because the desert Southwest and pretty much a lot of even parts of Oregon and Washington are in a drought. And that drought affects growing, and growing affects hunger, and hunger affects famine, and famine produces death. And right now, we're watching the, and look, I wrote a book called Weather Wars and the Natural Disasters 25 years ago. And, you know, I based it on the Air Force document, Weather is a Force Multiplier, We Own the Weather 2025. You can look that document up real. There's 200 plus weather modification patents. So when I hear somebody say, well, I don't believe in chemtrails, I don't know what to say except, boy, block them and get them out of here, because then you get, and that's why I hate chat so much. Look, I'm sorry. I know people love them. I don't, because you get instigators and those going, well, I don't believe. People can believe or not believe, but when the empirical evidence overrules the emotional response, and it's a terrifying response when you understand the water's being poisoned, the air is being poisoned. In Montana, we're February, whatever it is, 5th, yeah, 5th, and we haven't had any really snowy. January and February used to be two of our snowiest months and coldest. Today it got up to 58 degrees in Bozeman, okay? But because there was a little bit of water in the forecast, I think 4 days out, you know, maybe into next week, the chemtrails spraying was unceasing, okay? And pretty soon that beautiful blue sky turned into a haze. And guess what? There will be no water. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to know when they're going to start chemtrail spraying at length, look for the long-term, let's say 10-day forecast of what weather fronts are coming in. And if they're bringing any precipitation, and you're a community that needs water for farming and just living, watch what happens. When do the chemtrails spray? Doug, there are still people today, and I cannot believe it, that do not even believe chemtrails exist, and they believe that tic-tac-toe must be a monopoly game in the sky because, oh, those are contrails. Yeah, the people that believe they're not chemtrails are conned. Those are the ones that are following the contrails. So Yellowstone is critical for understanding the processes that are taking place on this planet right now. And if they found one bacteria that was changed the course of history forever, what else do they know that's in there that they're not telling us, okay? And I am suspicious. I have reason to be suspicious. I can monitor the changes from 1 year to the next. And having done that, I'm just saying this. Look, I'm not a geologist, but I know the smartest ones in the world. I'm not a volcanologist, but I know some of the smartest ones in the world. I should say some, not all. I know some of the most brilliant geologists in the world. They just name dropped, you know. And I want people to recognize the amount of data over around going on about volcanoes and earthquakes and drought and mega, that's kind of been my cerebral cortex in the documentary film business, and it's all related. So back to Yellowstone, you cannot see the Yellowstone that is. And I know that money's getting tough, so I can promise you, you'll see a Yellowstone. I would guess the only people that are really going to see it as it is, with the exception of park rangers, and they see it on horseback and still, unless they're flying in helicopters. And the point that it's a superior, praiseworthy, magnificent, awe-inspiring presentation of what God in his majesty, and it's the finger, you know, God's finger painting, you know, I don't mean any disrespect. I'm just saying, whoa, is it a beautiful film? It's a beautiful film because it's a Yellowstone that no one knows exists unless they've been in a helicopter, National Geographic, and people have done, you know, every kind of expose on Yellowstone. The bears, the wolves, more bears, more wolves, you know, the elk, the bison, more bison, you know, the history, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that stuff's important. That's not my calling. My calling is to show people, here you go, ladies and gentlemen, a half a century, and I used infrared photography when I got out of film school, or actually during my couple last years, I was pioneering different films, developing a slide film is a positive ektachrome. A negative would be C22. This is technical, but in essence, you process the slide as a negative or process the negative as a slide and put filters into it and use a different film latitude and the film special ability. For instance, infrared is used a lot for, you know, different, especially UFOs and stuff. You're using infrared, you're using not only IR, but you're using ultraviolet, different parts of the visible spectrum. So this isn't just Steve out there with a Brownie camera, okay? I can assure you that. But documenting it, and the changes have been astonishing, and they're beautiful. For instance, Mammoth Hot Springs, and that's in the film. We start in Mammoth, we go on a big loop to all the geyser pools through Lake, and come back to the Grand Canyon, the Yellowstone. And what is masterfully presented is astonishing. By the way, that is Grand Prismatic on the front, above and below. That's that you can see from space, okay? That is the most recognizable image of Yellowstone. But our cameras in some of the shots where you see, you know, you see little patches of smoke, the camera system, this is really cool. You can pick up individual clumps of the different chemical compounds and also bacteria. And I mean, you can see individual bubbles, okay? The problem is that we filmed this in 8K, and you can only, most televisions can only resolve 4K, okay? But that's really okay, pun intended there. The thing that's exciting to me is that this is a snapshot of 50 years of Yellowstone. You don't have to spend an expensive trip, and if you got a big screen TV, most people do, you can sit in the comfort of your home and you can see what no one could see if they went on their own. You only see 5%. Some people say 1%. I think that's what it says in the narration. But this is a way of presenting to you, all of you, whoever, and across the world you can watch this. There is a reason that when I show Jupiter, when I show some of the moons of Jupiter, by the way, the full-length version is totally more detail. When I show you the circulatory system of Firehole Lake, and it looks like literally blood vessels, I mean, this is astonishing stuff, Doug. And no one could see it because, again, when you're in Yellowstone, they don't have lookout towers look down. You can only see a horizontal plane. And, you know, it's kind of like life. In order to look at your life, sometimes you got to take a higher perspective. And so it's a wonderful film. And, you know, you can view it online right now. The DVDs, for those of you who are pre-ordering them, I think they go out on about the 15th, and it's a mind-blowing experience, and fortunately, it is presented in such a way, and when I say no expense spared, that's not bravado or braggadocio. It's just I've had 54 years to spend a lot of money on it. So the point is that we're watching now processes taking place in the world that are affecting life, changing life with the capability of destroying life from a little bacteria in one of these geyser pool called Thermus aquaticus, and it was mushroom geyser pool. By the way, mushroom geyser pool, we show it, but it's off limits now because you can't even take water out of these things, and if you get caught doing it, and they, you know, I mean, it's a federal offense. We didn't mess with the water. We photographed the water. So in essence, this is a microcosm into the I don't know if most people know, artists would know this, a Munsell color chart. That's a color chart, you know, kind of like if you go to Sherwin-Williams and they have all these different paints. You say blue, well, here's 100 versions of blue. Or no, I want it more yellow, and 100 versions of yellow. But in this case, Munsell is 1,000. What we're showing to you in this DVD is an astonishing array of colors, and the contrast is exemplary. And so this is my, I guess this is my gift to the future, because for a 54 years, this is what the encapsulation of one of the most astonishing, and I believe this, it's the most astonishing, not one of the most astonishing geologic areas in the world. And nothing can challenge that when you're dealing with volcanism, when you're dealing with thermophile bacteria, when you're dealing with all the colors, when you're dealing with 50% of the geothermal features in the world. And some people say it's 70. Well, I'm going to split hairs. It's a lot of, in essence, you can take all the planetary development that's going on, and especially on Jupiter. Jupiter, I was blown away, Doug, when all the shots we have of Jupiter look like, and I mean, I was in the helicopter, I'm on my headset, the camera, and I say, you know, zoom in, and we're blown away. I'll close this part of the show, and then we'll go to questions from you and answers or whatever. We discovered what we believe is a new life form. It's shown in the video. It's not a tease. Again, but here's what's cool, and I got, that sounds like God's fingerprint to me. We found the last hour of the last filming that I'll probably ever do in Yellowstone. I got enough films to make 3 films, you know, but advanced by Yellowstone standards. See, but according to the sulfur content of the water, the acid, the acidity, or the basic nature of the water, the temperature and all the different chemicals, there should be no organized life form. In other words, something with features. And lo and behold, we found it. We had such an accurate camera. We zoomed into it. So my project right now is dealing with astrobiologists and, you know, planetary scientists, because it's never been seen before, and we searched and searched and searched, and fortunately we had interviewed some of the planetary scientists for a previous film 5 years ago. So I just want to thank everybody for watching that, because it is breathtaking, especially when you even blow it up on a big computer screen. You know, to me, a good computer screen should be 30 by 40 inches. You know, somebody said, well, do you have an album of snapshots? I said, yeah, they're on my wall. They're all 30 by 40s or 30 by 30s. So I like stuff that is so detailed and so contrasty and so breathtaking. I can promise you, I just had a doctor friend of mine said, this is breathtaking. And I mean, you go like this, I didn't know that's what it looked like. And you couldn't possibly. Now you look, and the waterfalls in the backcountry, they're I run out of superlatives. I run out of terms to describe it. You just have to see it. They're magnificent, and they're hidden away. And how much beauty has God hidden in different places? And that's what the power of discovery is. That's what the draw of a CQ, a curiosity quotient, over, how do I say this, is more important than the intelligent quotient, because everybody who's a curious, scientific-leaning person, curiosity didn't kill a cat. It launched some of the greatest inventions and the greatest findings and the greatest movements in industry, because somebody was curious. Go ahead, Doug.
You know, as you were talking, and I was thinking about a half a century, I just have one question, Stephen, and I don't even know if you can quantify or if you can answer this question, but over that period of time that you were looking at very carefully, surveilling, mapping out Yellowstone, is there any one thing, or what is the one big surprise difference, from day one to the last time? Like you could say, wow, this has changed, or this is significant, or was there any surprise?
Yes.
Or the biggest surprise, I should say, in that 54 years?
Biggest surprise was an organized life form.
Right.
That absolutely took my breath away. Remember, I've been doing this for 4 years, off and on, different seasons, but over Yellowstone. And when we saw the creature, and it was moving, Doug, it wasn't just a glob of goo or a glob of bacteria, and it was a unusual, I'll give you a hint, it's like a starfish, like it's so unusual that it took my breath away, And fortunately, and this is so cool, fortunately, it stands out against everything. You can't find anything that can live in these temperatures. Some of the water is, it's not boiling. It's hot, and that is magma heating the water. And then the thermophile bacteria. So that's the one point. And I just laughing. I said, thank you, Lord. Last day, last hour, last flight. And here it is. We've flown over that same area, Doug, multiple times.
Wow.
I hope I'm answering your question.
Oh, yeah, you are. And, I suspected that would be the case. However, I'm thinking, well, maybe, this structural pool over here, over that really half century, grew significantly or sure. Whatever. However, in my mind, obviously, that would be like the very significant find. So, let me ask this. Has Yellowstone changed much in that half century?
Okay. Absolutely. The area known as Mammoth Hot Springs, they used to have some of the most beautiful terraces of so many unimaginable colors. In other words, instead of just imagine stair steps going down and water flowing and the color water freezing, meaning it's not frozen, but it dries up in that color. Mammoth Hot Springs used to be, in my opinion, one of the most beautiful chromatic plateaus. It's got you have a giant plateau on top, not giant, but it's big, and then all these smaller plateaus stepping down. And when you look at the old pictures of Yellowstone National Park, late 1800s, early 1900s, you'll show guys on bicycles on the terrace ledges, and the color has changed so dramatically. And what happens, the color goes away and it turns to just travertine, like white. It turns to just a white stone, and the beauty is gone. The formations are still there, and then maybe there'll be a little outcropping where some of the water, some of the superheated water, has broken through and broken out. But Mammoth has changed dramatically. My favorite place in Yellowstone, listen, I got to tell you, they won't let you camp there, but it's Norris Geyser Basin, Norris Hot Springs, a hot spring off to the west of Bozeman. But the point that is critical is that you cannot see it at once. Now, Steamboat Geyser, that will blow up once in a while, and we were graciously given the footage of that, because I wasn't down there in 1960, 1970, and 1980, at that specific geyser. But whenever you have a geyser, like Old Faithful, if it got plugged up and just all of a sudden had enough pressure to blow up the steam and rocks that had filled it, That happens, but that's not the Yellowstone's going to blow. I watched, and this is funny, I watched a video. I just got back from Yellowstone, I think this was about 2 years ago, from the helicopter getting, and I saw the cave. There's kind of a cool cave and a waterfall, and the guy had superimposed magma on it. He did a good job of destroying it, you know, I mean, destroying, trying to give the wrong impression. So these people are doing that for clickbait. So what's the most astonishing thing to me is just the amount of change. In the film, I said, you know, I've been going here for 50 years and I've never seen, I love lime green, okay? Like, especially the border around on your website when we were talking. I love lime green, but I was down in the park over decades and I never saw that until I think the last 3 years ago. Doesn't mean it was never there before, but it was astonishing. And so I see that as indicative. I know from the colors that were, I've got those photographed, to the colors that are, the temperature of the water is changing. Both temperature and direction wise. So if one pool is drying up, but there's another new pool, I can pretty well, you know, look at the maps. I mean, Yellowstone is probably one of the most mapped areas with everything that you can map, satellite. I mean, there's nothing really to see. And by the way, the underwater photography was courtesy of the National Park Service, but it's another world. And I would say this, if you are coming to Yellowstone, if you come during the, and I'm advising you against it, and I'll tell you why. If you want to see and smell it, that's one thing. But if you want to be frustrated to go 40 miles from Madison Junction to Old Faithful, and that's one of the places that, you know, obviously you got Old Faithful Geyser, and you've got geyser walks where some of the most, you know, astonishing features are there, you'll be more frustrated because there's just too many cars, and we call them, you ready for this? We call them, I better be kinder. We call them buffalo jams, okay? And we have some dumb tourists, and this is dumb, that want to go and help a baby bison that may have been born. The minute they touch it, it's abandoned. And those stories hit the news all along, you know? And don't touch the wildlife. And don't mess with the wildlife. I watched a bison. Bison are incredible animals. How fast they can go from 0 to 60. Man, they go from 0 to 60 faster than a Ferrari. I mean, listen, it's bam, bam, and whack. And I watched a pickup truck, the bed of it, where I had a bunch of, I guess it was, when I say a bunch, 6 or 8 people drinking beer. And when that bison got, let's just say this, irritated with human beings drinking beer, it hit that pickup truck and it just, you know, flipped some of the people out. Didn't flip the truck over, but I guess that's kind of, what do you say to your insurance company? Yeah, I was in Yellowstone Park and the bison charged me, you know? And then the people have got to understand, these are not pets. You never want to go and get between a mother bear, a sow, and her cubs. That's death wish instantly. You don't want to go and touch the pretty baby this or the pretty baby that. You want to stay where they tell you to stay, and they're not trying to be mean, but hey, if somebody gets hit full on by a bison, it splits them open, and you've got to pay attention. And I'll tell you one thing, there are, I won't even tell you where there are, but there are some dangerous pools too that are nothing but boiling sulfuric acid, where a European, I won't tell you the date, you know, somebody probably go find it out, but you'd have to be actually brainless. You'd have to be the dumbest person in the universe and with no challengers, okay, jumped into one of those pools and dissolved. This is a true story. Dissolved within under a minute, okay? Under a minute.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure, certain.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It was just this. He had a bubble bath, but he never got out of the tub.
Well, yeah, and you know, that's the thing today, Steve. You know, we, like you were saying, our nation, our world has been infused with a new kind of stupid of late. Okay. A new kind of ignorance, a new kind of absolute, leaving one's senses. And that's what we're seeing. By the way, with bison, it might be a good idea to drop a few in downtown Minneapolis, property of ICE, but I digress. Okay. So wow. Yeah. Just fantastic. And folks, again, the DVD, check it out. Gen6.com. And in fact, go to stevequill.com and you can click on the appropriate link to get this. Museum quality. I'm telling you, museum quality footage and probably one of the best. Steve, I got to say this. Not that any other film is bad, or this is cinematically the best I've ever seen that you've done. So.
Well, it is, and it's not because I've done it, but in essence, the cinema techniques of gyroscopically controlled cameras with the lens that, Canon, this is a Canon lens, and it's a shot over, and some, we use two different brands, shot over and Cineflex, okay? Those are $700,000 camera and lenses, okay? And there's nothing better. And it used to be you had to have a permit from the Defense Department to even use those. You can't use them. Those restrictions are taken off, and of course they have even higher resolution. But here's the problem, Doug. It will take a couple of years before the resolution that this film was filmed in, 8K, to even be able to view it on a screen, because the resolution of the television screen or the CRT terminal, they just aren't there yet. They cannot reproduce what we reproduce. So by doing it the way we did it, somebody's not going to say, well, I shot that in Super 8. No, I'm shooting it in 16. Wrong. This is probably 10 years away from being able to see the full effect. Listen, we're talking about individual bubbles. We're talking about individual sulfur crystals. We're talking about individual so extremely I'm struggling for words. In essence, you can almost say we put Yellowstone under a microscope. I'm giving you the microphone now. Hey, now I'm getting the microphone. But a microscope, in essence, you cannot see this stuff. You can't even walk around Grand Prismatic. You can walk around, that's the one that you're seeing on the screen right now. I got to move my back. I'm sorry. And the point is that why do you want to go and look at something when you can't see the something that you're going to look for? My guess is quick and dirty. I know the actual statistics. I mean, the Park Service keeps really good stuff, good records, the travel, where do you travel from? Where do you travel through? You take a family of four and you pay for food, you pay for lodging, you pay for gases, but they don't give you the frustration factor. You cannot see Yellowstone like you used to be able to see because of the traffic jams, okay? And Yellowstone is considering in the background, it's not in effect yet, but a reservation system. For instance, Glacier Park up in northern Montana, one of the most glorious places in the world. I was fortunate to, fly that and only take still photos, but you cannot even get to Glacier Park without a reservation. They give you 3 to 4 days to get there. And Glacier Park, you think Yellowstone's tough to get through. Going to the Sun Highway, which is one of the engineering marvels of a mountain road, it's bumper to bumper, and you don't have room. You can't take like a dually truck up it. And when you see normal people scraping their tires going from the entrance to Glacier, going to Sun Highway, trying to go up to Logan Pass. That's the highest place. There are so many cars trying to get into Logan Pass to look at the lookout. This is the most, how should I say it? This is the most pain-free, costly, cost-cutting. And again, why not eat your own popcorn and save yourself frustration? And this is something that I feel blessed in. I feel that it will be a blessing to others, because you can't look at this and go, the heavens declare the glory of God and the earth shows forth his handiwork. This is the fingerprint of the living God. And I'm saying, if you want to see God's what like, go to Yellowstone. And again, the draw for me now is in the interplanetary development of what the fancy word, cosmogenesis, okay? And it, just like Mars, when I started turning out stuff on Mars, I didn't have a Tesla to send there. But the point being is I maintained, look, even Percival Lowell talked about the Lowell telescope about canals of water on Mars. And now they just announced that there's water in the atmosphere on Mars. There's no life. And then the CIA did a report and they said, millions of years ago, there was a race of giants on Mars. I can tell you this, it wasn't millions of years ago. And when people think that, you know, oh, we're going to get a new, big, beautiful rocket, we can get ion propulsion, we can get all this stuff. The ancients had Mars covered because they used stargates. And I'm not trying to get too wild, but I'm just telling you that the outreach to the stars is so important, because when talking about how do humans survive in a methane rich environment, you know, obviously I won't go there. You don't want to eat beans on a space flight, but the point being is all the processes that are taking place on the exoplanet, they go to Yellowstone to look what a hydrogen rich environment, what a methane rich environment, what a sulfur rich environment, and everything like that. This is the planetary laboratory for future space exploration. That's where I'm going next, okay? I'm to outer space.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Now, next in conversation or next in research?
Research in a film, okay?
All right. That's.
And brother, I mean, what my worries are, Doug, right now is that we are provoking, maybe this is a good way to close this program off, there is no way to trust people who are with no trust. How do you say this? How can you trust somebody who's a pathological liar? You can't.
No, that's been proven.
And that's what Russia, and I want to say this, I believe President Putin, and listen, when he does that which is right in the sight of the Lord, equal justice, equal measures, biological families, a man and a woman, they don't go around mutilating their children, they don't allow aberrant or abnormal lifestyles, and when he is doing what he's doing, he will go down in history remembered as one of the greatest leaders for what he did for the other nations, because the other nations don't want dollars anymore. And that's something that I've been trying to talk to people about. Sandman, again, that is the repudiation. That's the operation we talked about on your show years ago. And that's a repudiation of anything and all things related to the American dollar. Everything. And when that day comes, you know, you can't put a tariff on a nation that doesn't even want to deal with you anymore. And behind the scenes, Doug, there's nobody that's going to go along with the petrodollar any longer. Saudi Arabia on January 1st said that if you want to buy our oil, you got to buy it with gold or silver or agreed upon commodities, bags of grain, rice, beans, whatever, and then we'll load your tankers, your oil tankers, and let them go. That's a far cry from just pumping gas out of the Middle East. That's also in Qatar. It's in all the oil petroleum exporting nations, okay, or countries, and they're doing the same thing. So no man wants our money any longer. So what does that tell you? Well, if you go to the store, I mean, I have my $10 rule now. It doesn't matter what you're buying, it's 10 bucks. And I'm talking about stuff that used to cost a couple bucks. Look at the price of apples. Look at the price of oranges. Look at the price of a box of crackers, like, you know, made with quinoa. Or quinoa, you know, in essence, used to be $5 for 8 ounces. Now it's $5 for 4 ounces. And, you know, when you open a package that's got air, kind of like a politician, when you actually open up to see what's inside them, nothing but air, you know, in my opinion.
It's a good, exactly right. And you know, the other thing I noticed too, and you gotta be careful on this. A lot of the foods, regardless, brand names, it doesn't really matter. It contains bioengineered ingredients. Okay. Wow. And just, it's ubiquitous. I mean, it's everywhere. And you've got to watch what's going on. So, and see, again, that's part, to me, this is part of the extermination of the human race, because I'm pretty sure that, you know, the people behind the things like the upper crust, shall we say, and I mean, emphasis on crust, they're not eating what we're eating, right? So,
no, but the majority of them, Doug, are eating humans. And listen, this isn't true of everyone in that category financially, but the majority of them are. Especially, I got to share this because does anybody and really understand that for what is going to happen with the Eye of Sauron, and people who, you know, watch the Hobbit movies know that, and the fact that Peter Thiel is sponsoring a company that is basically the all-seeing Eye of Sauron, and then talking about the Antichrist being the people that are opposing the total surveillance of all humans. It's at a genetic scale. Remember I used to talk about, and this is important, they know exactly how many calories you take in a day, especially if your toilets are monitored. Lovely, huh?
It's like that job. Just for the heck of it, think about having that job. But I guess there's a way. But go on.
Yeah. Well, in essence, we're there. We're beyond Minority Report, pre-crime, all of those Hollywood movies. And that, listen, I want everybody to understand, as a film major, one of the things I specialized in was science fiction, but I specialized in it from a standpoint of predictive programming, and it was based on Marshall McLuhan. If you don't know that name, you should look it up. He said the medium, in this case television, is the message. Telepresence, Orwell, all of these invasive what I call identity robbing technologies are designed to make you nothing more than a number, and you'll be assigned a credit score. You'll be assigned a bad attitude score. I'll probably score high on that test. And again, people are worried about, here's the thing, resistance isn't futile. It's just, where is it? You do not, and I love what Catherine Austin Fitz said, you don't use credit cards, you use cash, and cash will be king. Kudos to James Rawls, until cash becomes trash. But right now, and this is something I've got to say, watch the aftermath as the storms clear out and people keep talking about empty shelves. We warned on your show for what, past maybe a year and a half, too, that the government was seizing food from the major distributors and moving it to the underground warehouses and refrigerated warehouse facilities in the salt mines, not only in Kansas, but Missouri and other states, and the underground highway, which most people don't know exists. The truckers do, and there's a highway system. This isn't pie in the sky, but ladies and gentlemen, now we're talking about, and this is critical, because they're talking about the zombie disease, rabies, with mixed with what else? And they're talking about that we're going to have to be vaccinated again. There's worse stuff coming on. How many people had to die? And Doug, remember this, and this is pointing out, I said 100 million Chinese were dead just based on the cell phone records and the mass graves that the U.S. satellites picked up. You remember that?
I do, yeah.
And so now I want people to understand something. You need a satellite phone simply because the cell phones will go down. They're more manipulated. They're more easily manipulated. And the cell phones are not what you want to be around. And I got one, and I think, Doug, you're getting one or may have gotten one.
I've got a cell phone. Or a satellite phone, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, but I'm talking now, I'm switching. Sorry, you're going to have to learn what Faraday bags and Faraday clothing.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I'll tell you what, it is so important because too many men are sterilizing themselves, by putting their cell phone in the front pocket. Not a good thing if you want to value the family jewels and have more family to inherit the family jewels, okay? So it's and same thing with women. They're irradiating their reproductive organs. Not all of them, but depending. I've seen women put their cell phones in their front pant because they usually have pockets that are too short and they don't want to lose their cell phone. So again, ladies and gentlemen, it is escape zone. You can go to sat123.com, and they have hoodies, and you got to get in line because these things sell out fast. Go and get a satellite phone. And look, there'll be people you can call. And, well, I don't know anybody. Well, make it your job to know the major news organizations around the world. You can go on the internet and find out that Radio Shanghai or Shanghai Metals Exchange, you have a number. And so you're going to have to build up your own personal diary of phone calls. Who do you call? You know, who do you call? You're not going to call, you know, Ghostbusters. I mean, they've already bailed out of the country. And so what's interesting is that the escape zone products, especially with the Faraday bags, with a, you know, everything from cell phones to I carry a like a briefcase one with an RF blocking system, and everything there is going to save your life at some point. And what is your life worth? I mean, that's the question. Now, if you don't have the funds and you don't know anybody to call, don't get a satellite phone. Buy food. But some of the power generators from like EcoFlow, it won't hurt anybody to have a 2,000 water like the one on the left screen right now. And, you know, the point is that how many people were without power in this last blast of cold? And again, if you can keep your phone or you can keep your the important stuff. By the way, you don't run heaters off of portable battery banks. But the point is that you can charge your satellite phone, you can charge anything, and then you can also get what I have, and I recommend to the people that travel, and I'm not talking on airplanes, but just are in a vehicle a lot, get the Starlink. You know, it's a cool thing. It's miniature. Can you put the Starlink up on Starlink, and you can basically have your Starlink, and it's not dependent on the U.S. internet ISP providers. Anyway, it's Starlink and it's a portable one, and right. It's astonishing. And I have one, and I recommend it to people who need to be in contact. No metals trader, my clients or anybody else's, should be without it. There you go, right there, the Starlink. Okay, that's the fixed one. And they've got the best deals. And then if you go further to the right, let's see, two.
Yeah, there's a portable one to the right of that. Yep.
Yeah, there you go. And so, Doug, I have a backpack. I've showed it on TV before, TV, you know, videos. Yeah. Sorry. But the point is that, and I can deploy that. Look, I'm not a tech genius. All I have to do is put that on I have a top cover on my truck, and the cord goes into my back seat, and I can sit there, and I can contact you. And the key is that you've got to have, and Elon Musk is already here. He's going to have a Starlink connection on a Starlink phone, working with Apple. And so what's important is this is why Proton Mail is so critical. And the Proton Mail will allow you to escape. If you have satellite, it doesn't do any good if you can't get on the internet or don't have power. But you can take the Starlink and a 2,000 watt battery storage unit like the EcoFlow and run that thing until until the sun comes up, and you can recharge your EcoFlow with this battery. So, you know, Sat123, Tina's really got this covered, and order, because they're back ordered. Order their new hoodies that have EMF pouches. In other words, protect you from the radiation of carrying your phone. And then also, they have two EMF pockets, and they have one EMG pocket. And that's where you want to put your phone. No one will be able to reach you, and no, you won't be, here, I'm on my cell phone, come and kill me. Or you won't be drone bait, okay? So again, it's sat123.com and Escape Zone. And those hoodies are amazing. A lot of room to carry magazines. I'm just telling you, magazines, they've got zip pockets. And the nice size of it, you know, obviously you've got a carry permit or you've got an open carry state, but you look like a gray man, okay? Not purple and not Yellowstone colors, but in essence, a hoodie, it's wonderful. And so the products that Escape Zone is, listen, I told Tina, the owner, I said, Tina, this is we're all going to need an escape zone, okay? The first escape zone is we have to learn how to pray and believe and do imprecatory prayer. And I know this. I know that the pansies don't want to do imprecatory prayer. That's where you take the curses that David cursed and you curse the enemies of God. Well, you know, if you want to whine, you're not the person to pray imprecatory prayer. But you have to have what I would call, how should I say this, electronic stealth. There's a new term for us, Doug. Electronic stealth starts with, once you have your cell phone, you're going to have to come to the conclusion you can't turn it on from that point on. That's why you want the satellite phone. Satellite phones can't be, they can be tracked, okay, but within 50 miles, not within 2 inches.
And that's very true, yes.
So yeah. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, they are a sponsor, and the satellite phone store has you covered for communications and protection from electromagnetic weapons, warfare, and Carrington events. So,
Doug, yeah, I'm a big, I got to tell you, Steve, I'm a big believer in the Faraday, you know, the bags and then the clothing, because just what I've experienced, look, what I've experienced in terms of being tracked, those cell phones will, in fact, give you away all of the time.